All right, so it's 5:33, and I'll go ahead and call this meeting to order. So item number one, Pledge of Allegiance. Ms. Jill, would you like to lead us in the pledge?
Yeah, absolutely.
Not so fast.
Oh.
Can you help?
Nope.
Got it?
Sorry.
Got a break call.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay.
Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right, item number two, roll call. Let the record show that Director Gerardo is not here and Director Franklin are not here. Everybody else is present. Item number three, agenda approval.
I move that we approve tonight's agenda.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Item number four, public comments. Are there any public comments?
I'll stretch through with Wrightwood Circuit. Just want to say we've got our next basic training class coming up September 13th, 14th, and 15th. We're trying something new, doing it a Friday night, a Saturday, and a Sunday instead of 3 weekends in a row. Friday night will be at the Methodist Church, and then Saturday and Sunday, through the graciousness of the CSD, we'll be holding here in the community building. So.
Very good. Thank you, Stretch. Any other public comments?
Nope. Christina.
Oh, Christina. Or do you want to, I guess, next is agency.
Should I hang out?
No, well, so item number five, agency reports. Miss Christina, would you like to go?
I think there's a public
yes,
back
yes.
there.
Do you have a public comment?
I do.
Okay, come on up. Sorry, Christina.
Hi, I'm Megan Hollander, and I am a resident, and it's likely been addressed in this venue previously because the CR&R trash pickup seems to have changed for the green waste, and either myself and everyone I've talked to have fallen off the bandwagon. And just didn't hear about it until our green waste wasn't being picked up. And I talked to the office yesterday, and you guys were wonderful. And in addition to talking to CR&R, which multiple times have given me multiple answers, if that makes sense. So you guys actually clarified it very nicely for me, and I appreciate that. However, I just wanted to bring to attention that I did not receive any notification previously via CR&R, rather it had been text, I think was referred to, or a phone call, or a letter, or even a notification on my bill. So I just am bringing it up because if that's what I've experienced, maybe the entire Wrightwood area has, and I think that we're being grotesquely overlooked, especially in the area of green waste pickup in high fire categories, and I just find that odd that a company would overlook that and mediate our service in that realm. So anyway, that is the gist of it. So I would follow up and maybe see, I don't know if that's something that has been negotiated or our citizens want to, or maybe what that background looked like, because it appeared to me that it had been 5 bags weekly, and now it's 3 bags once a month. So, yeah.
They told me 5 this morning.
Oh,
once a month.
Mm-hmm.
It's 3.
So, okay. So, anyway, thank you.
Thank you
so much.
Megan Hollander. Megan Hollander.
Thanks, Megan.
Yeah, you got it.
Any other public comment? Yeah. Sure.
That's up to you.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Patricia Gonzalez. I am with Full Circle Beyond Prepared and also here to give an announcement on behalf of the Wrightwood Village Foundation. And we are putting on classes they've been from July and they're going to last up until December 2024. They are health and safety classes. So each session will be from 10 to 11 and 11 to 12. There's going to be flyers at the back with the dates here. There's also QR codes, which will link you to Eventbrite to register, and they are free classes. They will be held at the Methodist Church, and my cards will be at the back as well, so if you want to send me a text or a call, then I can just register you. They are in person as well as Zoom, so you get the best of both worlds. So those will be in Wrightwood from now up until December, and the next class is going to be August 21st. And if you're interested for similar classes, their health and safety classes, they're also going to be in San Bernardino, Inland Empire. They're available by in-person and Zoom. And again, if you just shoot this link, it'll open up all of the classes. So there are over a dozen classes. Again, whole person health and emergency preparedness. And there's also another flyer which will have the QR codes that are larger behind this flyer. So we just want to encourage you to stay hydrated, and then also there's going to be information on symptoms of heat illness for you to get and be informed about, and there's a couple of books for the kids on water conservation. So we just want to encourage you to be hydrated and be healthy. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Great. Any other public comments? All right, moving on to agency reports, item number 5. Ms. Christina, would you like to come?
Hello there. I'm Christina Berger with the Orlando Joint Unified School District. And, let's see, there's been a lot going on. Just yesterday, we welcomed our teachers and staff back, ready to welcome the children on Thursday, opening our doors enthusiastically, excited about starting a new year with them. Over the summer, you may have seen that there was work being done at Wrightwood Elementary. We had emergency water pipe change out, where the entire campus received new piping for the water. And that was completed on time and under budget, which was wonderful. Let's see what else we have. Last night, we held a special meeting where the board voted in favor of placing a Snow Lake Joint Unified School District bond measure on the November ballot for facilities. During the exploratory period, surveys showed a high level of support in the community in favor of this bond measure, and so we did vote to move forward with that, and so we look forward to having that placed on the November ballot. This board vote enables the placement of the bond measure for the voting public to decide on that matter. And a recording of the meeting from last night and recently completed facilities master plan is available on the website at snowlightschools.com. And lastly, at the meeting last night, we also discussed the development of a cell phone policy district-wide for this all schools within Snowline. The research shows that it interferes having cell phones out at school, interferes with the learning process. So the students will still be allowed to carry their cell phones to school and have them on their person in the event of an emergency. But when in classroom, they will be asked to have it up and away, and so that they can be engaged in the learning process. And are there any questions? Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Sergeant,
you want to go? Sure. Good evening, Madam President, board members. This is the stats for last month, which would be for July. Total calls for service. We had 116 calls for service. Out of those calls for services, those generated 15 reports where we took, whether it be criminal action or just information reports. And out of those reports, we made one arrest. So I was able to get arrests back. So we have one arrest that were made. All right, our call volume, as far as what calls we had, the highest of, the first one is an information call. And on the information call, that could be anything. That's basically dispatch letting us know that either our fire brothers and sisters or went out a call, don't necessarily need us, or CHP had a call, or there was something going on and they just wanted us to know. So that's what an information call is. The second one is follow-ups, and that could be anything from deputies to specialized units to myself or anybody else that needed to come back up and do a follow-up investigation. Say there was a robbery or a burglary, or if there was one, they would be looking for witnesses and or if there's any kind of electronic surveillance that maybe we could gain some perspective. Our third call volume was audible alarms. Kind of speaks for itself. Any house that went off or a business that went off an audible alarm, ADT, Brinks, whatever they'll call us, and that's what that is. Our number four is area checks. That was the fourth one, and that's just basically us coming up into the area and conducting area checks, basically making sure everything is good to go and there's no scene problems that we have in the area. And lastly, it's miscellaneous incidents, and that could be anything. That's basically, if it's a miscellaneous incident, it's not a criminal matter. It's something that we took a report on, and we were just documenting whatever we were sent to. Other than that, that's it. I don't have anything else. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, everyone. I'm Michael Labs, captain here at Fire Station 14, San Bernardino County, right down the road. I have my crew over here as well. We are still, obviously, and always, 24 hours, 7 days a week staff, 365 days a year. We have, just want to go through, if most people don't know in the community, I'm sure the board knows, but what equipment we have at the fire station. We have what we call our Type 1 fire engine, which is ALS, meaning there's a paramedic on board 24/7. We also have our Medic Ambulance 14 that is stationed out of Fire Station 14, 24 staff with a paramedic. We just recently got staffing, which is good news for our community. We just recently got staffed at Fire Station 10 in Thielen. There's a secondary ambulance there. So we have down there, we have the medic engine, there's a brush engine down there. And then two ambulances. So what that means for the community is when we go, you know, wintertime, there's Mountain High or there's another emergency that we have to transport off the mountain, which is 100% of our calls. We're transporting either the Desert Valley, San Bernardino Community, St. Bee, somewhere down the hill. We have an ambulance within 10 minutes of getting to our station. Now, if it's extremely busy or there's long, like bed delays or something unforeseen, then we have that ambulance can come and staff and just hang out at our station so we have them readily available and even quicker. Other equipment we have over there, we still have our Snowcat. We actually have a grant that is funding a brand new Snowcat, so that should be coming within the next 12 months. And then we also have a patrol housed out of there for the little knick-knack calls that we need to run. We do run a lot, right, because we know LA County is just right here. So we run a lot on that side and provide mutual aid with LA County, so we have resources to be able to go and deploy and go on the hiking trails and stuff like that, which we've had quite a few since it's nice and warm and people are hiking. Which brings me back, she brought up a good point about hydration. That's 90% of the time is that someone's up there that doesn't have any experience on these more advanced trails, which we know in the community there's easy, moderate, novice, advanced trails. But just to stay hydrated and wear the proper footwear, maybe flip-flops, a tank top, and a bag of beer isn't the best thing. So that's really what we got going on with the hiking trails. As far as call types and the volume, we had 41 calls for service. Vegetation fire, we had one. And that vegetation fire, anytime it's put in our database as a vegetation fire, it can be 10 by 10, a 5 by 5 spot. It could be something big. Obviously, nothing big has happened around here. I think it's a testament to everyone doing their cleaning, all the pine needle cleanup, all that kind of stuff. I know it's very common that when we see smoke in the area in our community to call the fire station. We're still there to give as much information as we have. And if we don't have the information, a lot of times people will think, hey, you know, the fire department's got to know. We may not, but at least we can get you pointed in the right direction too. So we have that availability. Keep them calling if you need it. Other fires, which are, it was one, which is some most likely an illegal burn, someone having more than just a cooking fire, you know, like a barbecue, with extreme fire danger. We all know that it's just no burning at all, and unless it's like a barbecue outside with charcoal or natural gas or propane tank. Investigations or alarms, we've had five. To expand on that, just commercial alarms or an accidental activation, something like that. We do get it. It's kind of calmed down a little bit, and I'm new to this. I've only been here for a couple years in this. In Wrightwood, I was in Hesperia. But right up on Elm, what's, do you know the name of the very top of Elm, and that's where they have like the, what's it called? Anybody? Yeah, the camp. Yeah, sorry. We get some calls there for cooking stuff, and a smoke alarm goes off. I'd probably say four of those five were from that, so nothing to be alarmed about. Medical, that's always going to be our highest volume, is our medical calls, right? Luckily, in the community, we do have two pieces of equipment that have paramedics on them. Like I stated, if our ambulance is transporting and we get another medical aid, the fire engine always has paramedics on it. And today we have three, but there will always be at least one. So someone will be able to get to your home. If you just see the fire engine, you're like, where's the ambulance? They're en route, but we're able to provide the same exact care, start IVs, do cardiac monitoring, anything advanced, we're able to do on the fire engine. Public service was three, and then traffic collisions within the community was just one call. Our typical, as everybody knows in the community, is our high traffic zone being Highway 2 here. These S-curves, as you get down to Desert Front Road, I'd say the first S-curve, right before it gets to where the turnout is, and someone could pull over if they're going slow, that spot right there as you're heading down is probably our number one spot, at least that I've seen in these few months that I've been here. So that's it. Anybody have any questions? Yeah?
I thought I understood you to say that you have a grant that's going to give you a new snow cap.
Correct.
I thought the snow cap we had was brand new.
It is. So what happens is, you know how grants work. If you don't use it, you lose it.
Oh, okay.
So it's one of those situations. So not only will we have this, it's not coming out of, you know, the community's budget. Obviously, a grant is different than that. And that is being built as we speak. So we'll have a front line, and we always like to have reserve status.
So you'll have two.
We'll have the ability to have two. Correct.
Okay.
It may not be housed here because we have so many square footage.
Right.
But it could be stored at other mountain communities, or if there's an event like our Snowmageddon, now we could get more snow cats here to assist the community.
Okay, super. All right.
Anything else? No?
Nope.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Another agencies. All right, moving on to item number 6, consent calendar. Let's look it over.
Yeah. I'll make the motion to approve the consent calendar.
I'll second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Item number 7, June 2024 financials.
I looked them over. They looked fine to me. I didn't have any questions, personally.
I don't have any questions.
No questions.
Ooh, end of the fiscal year. Congrats.
Oh, it's hard.
No motion for that, I ask every time, right?
I don't think we have to, but...
I've been doing this, 6 months? I ask every time and I forget.
No, I don't know. I
should we ask Steve?
Mr. Kennedy, there's no motion for the financials, right?
It's not necessary. I mean, you can if you want. It's agendized for possible action, but it's not required.
Okay. All right, we won't do that then. All right, moving on. Item number 8, General Manager's Report. Ms. Tammy.
All right. The bathroom renovations are still in the preliminary stages, and I hope to have a plan designed within the next few weeks. A percolation test, which is a procedure performed to review water drainage in different soils, will be performed in the next few weeks to indicate if our leach lines need to be moved to a different location. Ideally, the existing leach lines can be used, thus saving money. I did open a savings account for the grant funds with an interest rate of 3.9% to 4.1%. This could grant cleansing. I'm sorry, read that wrong. This could add approximately $1,300 a month to the funds for the bathrooms, even if it's only for a few months. The special assessments for the dump card have been submitted and they've been approved, and an account has been established by LA and San Bernardino County auditors. Angela has been working diligently with San Bernardino County on the electronic annual year report that is submitted to CalRecycle on an annual basis. This is an extensive report that lists all the different types of recycling, anywhere from recycling paper to what the grocery store does with their surplus food, and how the district implements our plans or are gonna implement recycling of different products in our district. The cameras have been installed in the parks and one inside the building. I debated putting a camera in the building, but tables and chairs, along with a few kitchen items, have been disappearing over the years. So it also provides extra security for staff and myself. Livestream will be hosting a monthly blood drive here at the community building beginning Friday, August 16th from 2 to 7. The September drive will be on Saturday, the 21st from 2 to 7 also. Be sure to check our website calendar for upcoming dates. Don't forget about the e-waste drop-off on Saturday, September 28th from 9 to 1 at the County Yard on Highway 2. Our Parks and Rec has been going full swing with the addition of tennis beginning in the fall. We're still working on the final details, but hope to have two children's classes broken into different age groups twice a week. Adults will be offered a free play day on Saturdays for a small fee. Mommy and Me classes and our dance classes will be winding up in end of August. Come out to support our local talent at the recital on August 17th. And the time has been changed to 6 p.m. due to the car show. It was scheduled for 10:30, but they just decided to push it to 6. So the fall dance classes will resume in October with the recital in November. Summer softball season will also be ending with playoffs on August 18th. If you're interested in any of our recreation programs, please email recreation@wrightwoodcsd for more information. The end of summer is quickly approaching, and that is the theme for this month's senior lunch on Wednesday, August 14th. There will be a cornhole tournament after a lunch of meatball, veggie or ham sandwiches, chips, drinks, and dessert. Come join us for an afternoon of fun and socializing, and the doors open at 11 a.m. Anyone have any questions?
I do. Thank you for all of this. This is a great update. First question, where are you playing tennis?
It is a private court.
Okay.
Off of Desert Front, I believe.
I thought so. I was just curious. Okay, cool. Very good. And then my second question was, I know, you know, CRNR is not on the agenda, but considering that public comment, I too have heard that information about the decrease in green waste, and since you talked about recycling in here, I was wondering if you could elaborate on that so that we could say publicly what the new rule is so that we all understand that.
And lucky Brandon from CRNR has to show up.
Yeah, so we can understand that. I'd like to know.
Okay, a lot of you aren't aware that we have a waiver for the green waste. The pine needles and all that good stuff. We don't have a waiver. The waiver doesn't take care of everything, like some of the foods. We're still trying to work that out. But yes, we are, with the CalRecycle, we aren't required to collect green waste. Brent, you have this look on your face. Go ahead.
More so, why have they decreased it from picking up 5 a week of bags of pine needles to 3 a month?
Because it was a courtesy.
Okay.
Brandon and I discussed it. The extra wear and tear on the trucks is, you know, if you notice, we are getting skipped because maintenance on trucks, so the extra weight, the extra pickups, those were courtesy from CR&R. So we discussed it and decided to just do the once a month, still as a courtesy, the three bags of green waste.
So that's the official once a month, three bags.
The once a month, the first of the week, yes.
So that's going to be on your first trash day of the month. And
yes.
That we changed because everybody kind of took advantage of that. We were having guys, I had a guy pick up yesterday 42 bags at one house.
Oh my
God. Just to give you guys an idea. And that was a courtesy too. So the drivers are still doing everything they can to pick up the additional bags. But if you were to look at any other hauler that's doing the same thing, they're going to charge $5 a bag. So you can still pay for the additional bag pickup on a separate week at any day that you want on a trash day.
And I believe it's $1.17.
Correct.
It's a very minimal
amount.
Okay,
so first pickup of the month, you'll get three bags
free
and
green waste.
And if you want more, you call for $1.17 on any other copy.
You should have received an email and a phone call from CR&R. I am realizing not everybody did. I don't know how we could have controlled that or...
Well, I mean, if we can help disseminate this, that'll be
great. My only comment to CR&R, I understand what you're doing. The disconnect is with your customer service. I called Stanton this morning, and the rep was really nice. She was really great, and she looked it up. And this morning she told me, oh, you can put out five bags of green waste. I'm not making that up. So the disconnect is not with you guys. It's when you call customer service. It's just like what you said. Each time we call, we're getting different information from different reps. So if you could, like, improve on anything, it would be with contacting who's ever in charge of customer service for those people answering the calls for our area, because that's part of the problem. If people are doing that, and then they're getting charged, whether it's $1, $5, or whatever. It wasn't the fee, but I was going to put out five, and now I'm going to put out three tomorrow instead.
So I totally understand what you're talking about, and we're working with our customer service right now. And what we're doing on our end is just picking the bags up, right? So if we're getting customers up here that are getting a disconnect with the stand and customer service reps, we're basically picking the ball up and just picking the bags up.
But
like 42 bags yesterday.
Yeah.
Somebody obviously had a disconnect. Who knows if they even said the right number or whatever. It doesn't matter. But we're going to make sure we do our due diligence and pick up everything possible that's going to be out there. But we are working with that customer service firm. And actually, Phelan itself decided that they wanted to go ahead and pay for a customer service rep specifically for Phelan. What we're going to do now is look into maybe doing the same kind of thing for Wrightwood. I'm not promising anything because that gets wrapped up into rates, and we're not going to talk about that right now. But that's something that we can look forward to in the future.
Just adding opinion, they give you a dump card. They ask you, are you throwing away trash or greens? So what else can people ask for? You can just go and dump it.
Yeah, that was another reason. You guys have dump cards.
Okay, well, that was my question, so thanks for the clarification.
Great. Any other questions for Tammy? All right, moving on to item number 9, proposal from Edie and Payne to perform audit services for fiscal year
2023-2024. They, Brandon could not make it tonight. So this, it's Edie and Payne, our annual audit that is required, is submitting a proposal. This year they're proposing $20,000 to do the annual audit.
Was that our rate last year?
It went up by like $300.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I assume it's probably gone up $300 each year, probably, right?
It has gone up. And aren't we in a contract, like a 5-year contract?
It was a 5-year.
Yeah. Are we still in a 5-year contract? Or did we redo it?
Honestly, I'll have to pull the contract, because I don't know when the original contract was signed, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I mean, I'm totally cool with them. I'm just curious if this is part of that still.
Yeah, I was curious too. I think they do a good job, and I'm always happy with their services, so I'm fine with approving this. I was just curious if you knew that.
I'll look into that, though, because I honestly don't.
Just so that we're ready to re-up on that when it's time.
If I remember correctly, I think this is the final year of the contract.
I believe you're right.
Yeah.
Because they did it, too.
All right. So do we need to... What are we doing here?
Approve it.
So make a motion to go
in. Do you have
any
questions left?
Okay. I'll make the motion to approve it.
To go into contract with them, or Mr. Kennedy, how do we need to phrase that
just,
for EDM?
Just to approve the proposal.
Approve the proposal.
Maybe.
Okay.
I'll make the motion to approve the proposal.
Perfect. All second the motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries.
Sorry.
That's okay. No, okay. Item number 10, remote meeting discussion and possible action.
I guess I'll take this one.
Yep, go ahead, Mr. Kennedy.
Okay. As the board is aware, your meetings are subject to the Brown Act. And we talked at the last meeting about what the Brown Act might have available in the way of board member attendance at board meetings remotely without violating the Brown Act provisions. So, I asked whether that the board would be interested in receiving that information or direct me to go ahead and prepare it. So what you have in the agenda materials is a memorandum that I have prepared that outlines what the legal requirements are for the different types of vehicles that board members can use to attend meetings remotely. And I do have a schematic also in the agenda materials that is a table of what those provisions are and kind of an outline of what the requirements are. So we can go through that. The first means and method by which a director can attend remotely is sort of the classic Brown Act provision. This provision's been in place for over 20 years at least. And the typical way in which it was done prior to the pandemic. And so under this requirement, a board member can attend remotely as long as the six requirements at middle of the page on page one of my memorandum are met. And that is that the quorum of the board participates from the location within the agency's jurisdiction. So you've got a quorum within your jurisdiction. The remote location must be connected to the main meeting by telephone, video, or both. The agenda for the meeting must identify the remote location. The remote location must be posted and acceptable and accessible to the public, which means that the agenda has to be posted at that location. All votes are by roll call. And otherwise, the meetings go in the same manner as what is currently the practice in the Brown Act. So typically what would happen is a director would notify staff prior to the agenda being posted. And that's the key part, prior to the agenda being posted. I'm not going to be able to make it. I can attend remotely, but it would have to be at a location that is accessible to the public, and the agenda is posted at that location. And I have had situations where you have a board member even on vacation in Hawaii. I had a board member in the Philippines, and of course no one's going to go to the Philippines to attend a meeting when you're meetings, but as long as the agenda identifies that location, that remote location, and the agenda is posted, say for a regular meeting, 72 hours in advance at that location, then board member can participate remotely as long as there's a quorum of the board that is participating from within the district. That was the old school way that it occurred. Remote meetings occurred for years, and then the pandemic hit, and the governor issued an executive order during the pandemic to avoid, to avoid meeting together with, with social distancing requirements in place. And so suspended those requirements for a period of time that there was a declared state of emergency. Some of the board members may remember that. I'm sure General Manager Keene remembers that. And during that time, the board meetings were held basically via Zoom, and meetings were conducted that way. That was only temporary while the state of emergency was in effect. During that period of time, the legislature struggled to come up with something statutory as to how to handle that, and that was done through Assembly Bill 361. And that basically took over even after the pandemic was over, but still required a declared state of emergency, still required that the board adopt a resolution every 30 days determining that in order to support social distancing and support any of the local requirements regarding gatherings, that the board would continue to provide remote access. After the pandemic, this board elected not to make those recertification resolutions, but to go back strictly in-person meetings. And you have been doing that ever since. AB 361 was, by its own terms, had a sunset date that expired last year, December 31st of last year. So what the legislature did was adopt AB 557, which basically continues on what AB 361 did, but does not require a resolution for recertification, but it does require the board to make periodic findings, and if you decide to go during a state of emergency, if you decide to have remote meetings, you need to make findings, and there does need to be a state of emergency as declared by the governor. Additionally, during this period of time, there was another piece of legislation that was enacted was signed into law on September 13th of 2022 and became effective January 1 of 2023 and has been in effect since that time, and that is AB 2449. I'm very familiar with that bill since that's the bill that I wrote, and it was it was a two-year bill. It took 2 years to get it through the state legislature, but when it did pass, it passed by a large margin. But there were a lot of concessions that were made during that process, and so the bill itself has a ton of guardrails in place to prevent sort of the potential that there would be abuse of the remote meeting attendance. And those are listed in the schematic that is part of the table in materials. You'll see that beginning on page, I think, 4 of my memo. Basically, what it requires is that a board member can attend remotely without having to identify that board member's location. If they're on two grounds, one is just cause, and the other is an emergency circumstance. And just cause is very tightly defined as child care or caregiving of close relatives, contagious illness, physical or mental disability, or official business travel. Those are just cause. Emergency circumstance is defined as a physical or family medical emergency. if any of those circumstances exist, then a board member can attend remotely without having the agenda being posted at that location, without the location being made accessible to the public, and without having to identify that location as to where you're at. So it could be done without identifying your particular location. There are limits to the number of times per calendar year that it can be done, and Just Cause is limited to 2 meetings a calendar year, and the emergency circumstances is also 2 years, and no more than 4 in a calendar year. You still need to have a quorum that are physically present. This time, though, it's not just a quorum within the boundaries of the district. You would need a quorum physically present at the location in which the board meeting is being conducted. The means and methods are required to have both an audio and visual two-way element. So you would have to have both audio and visual. Under old brand app, it just needs to be audio. But if you use 82449, it is you have to have both. The public has to be able to access both as well. And if there are technical difficulties, and we had that happen, you know, sometimes prior, then the board meetings have to stop, and you cannot conduct business while there are technical problems occurring. The director would not have to identify their location, but would be required to notify whether there are any other individuals 18 years of age or older at the location, and the general nature of the director's relationship with those individuals, basically so that there isn't the possibility of someone else making the decision for the director. This bill is also scheduled to sunset after 3 years, so it is scheduled to expire January 1 of 2026. I'm sure there will be efforts in place to extend that. I know I'm already part of some of those, so you know, more to come on that, but that law remains in effect at least until January 1, 2026. What you also have in your board book is an opinion from the Attorney General's office that came out July 24th. The date of my memo is July 12th. And this Attorney General's opinion is hot off the presses. Just came down. And so what the AG has said is kind of an extension of AB 2449, where if the Just Cause, so remember, for Just Cause, there are 4 prongs to the Just Cause determination, one of which is physical or mental disability. The other, you know, as we talked about, child care or caregiving of close relatives, contagious illness, or official business trouble. But the fourth is disability. This opinion says if the disability is one that qualifies under ADA, then it's reasonable accommodation that's protected by law for the district to allow board members to attend remotely under ADA as a reasonable accommodation for their disability. And if that occurs, if the disability is one covered by ADA, then it would seem to me, again, this opinion is only days old, it would seem to me that the numerical limitations for Just Cause under AB 2449 would not apply. And so it could be a director could attend indefinitely could attend board meetings indefinitely if the remote attendance is due to a disability that's covered by ADA. So that, in a nutshell, are the grounds upon which board members can attend remotely. I think for the board to decide is, in my opinion, whether the board wants to reconsider its prior decision just to meet in person and not have audio-visual capabilities for your board meetings as you did during the pandemic. You currently do not allow that to occur. And I think the question is whether or not you want to make that option available. Typically, that would, in the past, you had your board president running that. I would not recommend that. In my view, the board president has enough on his or her hands in running the meeting and should not also be managing the audio visual for the board meeting. That is not typically how that's done. That is normally done by staff attending the meeting that would make sure that all the technical requirements are in place to allow that to happen. But I'll be glad to answer any questions that the board may have on this. I'll just pass it back over to you, Madam President.
Thank you. Well, I wasn't here last month, so I'd just like to kind of hear your opinions, like, on whether you want to do this or don't want to do this. Did you guys talk about this last month?
I was also not here.
Oh, okay.
I was here.
Okay, so I'm just trying to understand the need and if there is a need from board members who'd like to do this and, you know, with work or, you know, health or anything like that, if that was brought up.
Yes. So Christy would love to participate in more board meetings, but with her work schedule, she's not even in California all the time when we have them. So she expressed that she really, really wanted to do remote or have this be an option for her so that she would still be able to participate.
Okay. Now, so I understand that because we got a lot of information there, Steve. So if we did this, could Christy attend from out of state?
Yes. So you've got a 5-member board. You've got one board member who wants to participate remotely out of state. As long as you still have the other board members a quorum physically present, that can happen. So then the question is, okay, would she be attending under what grounds? And if it is under old Brown Act, then we would need to identify that location on the agenda, the location that she's at on the agenda. That location would have to be accessible to the public. And the agenda would need to be posted 72 hours in advance at that location. If those requirements can be met, then we can do it under old Brown. If it cannot be met, then you have an option under AB 2449. Does it meet just cause and does it meet it, an emergency situation? And just cause, again, the four items for just cause: child care and caregiving, contagious illness, physical or mental disability, or official business travel.
Okay.
I would say what official business travel means is if she was traveling on official business for the district, not for travel in relation to her work. If the travel is based on what she's, you know, attending conferences for the district or, you know, meeting with legislators or, you know, doing, you know, various activities, for the district, for traveling for the district, then I think she could do it. You only get a limited number of those. And so I don't know that it would help a lot. She would only have two per year that she could use for on that basis. But for instance, if you're a director and you've got child care needs, that could be a just cause situation. Or if you're a director and you have a health situation that prevents you from attending, but you want to participate, then that would allow you to do so under AB 2449. I think also some of the points that were raised is that you have you may have more people participating in your meetings if especially during winter months when it may be hard to get up the hill. You may have more participation from the public, from some of the your outside agencies, if that participation was a remote capability for that kind of participation.
And so in both instances, the old Brown Act and the AB 2449, it needs to be videoed and recorded?
Under old Brown Act, the visual part is not necessary. That can be done by phone or even remotely through Zoom without the camera on if you're under old Brown Act. With AB 2449, you need both. You need audio and visual, and the public would need to have the ability to participate through audio and visual means as well.
Okay. So basically, we can go with old Brown Act. When we use the word old, it makes me think it's outdated. We can go in that option where we just have to notice where they're physically at when we post the agenda, and we're okay.
Yeah, I won't call it old anymore. I'll call it classic Brown Act.
Okay, so classic Brown Act is still legal. We just would have to say where they are physically going to be when we post the agenda 72 hours in advance.
Correct? That's correct. And also, that location needs to be accessible to the public. I've had situations where board members want to attend, and they're going to be at an airport, they want to participate, getting the agenda posted at that location is impossible. That location is not accessible to the public. Once you pass the security, it's not accessible to the public. That would prevent that. If they're at a hotel, and some hotels require, say, a key fob to get up to certain floors at the hotel. If that's the case for where you're going to be located, even if the hotel was able to post was willing to post the agenda in front of the hotel room door for 72 hours, that would prevent the director from participating at that location because the public would not be able to participate. The idea is the concept is that a board member exercising his or her right to attend remotely under Classic Brown Act has to understand that only works if the location is accessible to the public and the public is allowed to participate from that location. So it's treated almost exactly the same as the location of your board meeting in that way, in that there's an agenda that's posted there. It's posted 72 hours in advance. The public can go there. It is, it's accessible to the public, and the public can actually participate from that location. I've been doing this a while, and using Classic Brown Act for remote participation is pretty common. And I've never had a situation where a member of the public did participate from the remote location, but that's an element that has to be that is required when that occurs.
Okay, thank you. And then as far as recertification, I remember with the classic, we had to certify. I think that's why we went away from it, is because we had to recertify every 30 days, right? And our calendar month did not fall every 30 days, so we thought it was too cumbersome. So is it the same policy for that? And AB 2449, is there a recertification process?
No. So what happened there was during that recertification was part of AB 361, which is no longer in effect. It expired at the end of 2023. And what AB 361 allowed for was for board members to participate remotely without necessarily identifying their location, as long as there was a declared state of emergency, and AB 361 was still in effect. What happened there was that the governor had lifted the state of emergency. So the board was deciding whether or not to continue to allow board meetings to have public access to the meetings by remote. And so it wasn't necessarily board members attending remotely. I think it was prior to AB 24. It might have been. I don't recall if that was before or after 2449 was in effect. But I think the recertification process was already done because the state of emergency had been lifted. And so it was whether or not that was something that the board wanted to continue to make available. And I think what happened is that there was quite a bit of technical issues with your system at that time, especially when you were meeting at the firehouse, I think it was a 3-2 vote, if I recall. It was very close, and I think two of those board members that voted the majority are no longer on the board, and I think it was a combination of the technical issues. Recertification at that point was also something that we always had to deal with and fitting within that 30-day window, and that was cumbersome. And also, I think there was a desire to, meet with the public in person. And I think that there was... I think that there was a lot of sentiment that felt good. So I think there was a lot in play, but the circumstances have changed since that decision was made. We've got AB 2449 and some of these other requirements. The board has not, as far as I'm aware, has not ever exercised any of its AB 2449 rights. And you do not provide remote participation for the public. And I will say, and I think I mentioned this at the last meeting, I would say that of all my clients, I think this district is the only one that doesn't provide for remote participation by the public at your meetings. And all of the other ones that I represent do have that element and do provide that option for the public if they want to attend.
All right. Well, those are my questions. Thank you, Steve, for that. What do you guys think? I could go either way. I mean, one of the biggest questions I think for the staff is do you think, would you guys want to do that, run video meetings and all of that? Because I know Sadie had done it at a period of time, but I heard Steve say it probably wouldn't be the right thing. So
I don't think it'd be that huge of a deal, was it? You had your phone and your laptop. And if we didn't
do it right, though. We need to be able to have the public.
The challenge is
with that. I personally don't think we're savvy enough for this right now, unless we have somebody that can run that. But the issues we had was we weren't able to hear the public during public comment or see them.
Okay.
So we did it in a way that they could listen in and I could read the comments, but we didn't that two-way. And it was very challenging. I'm all for it because I do think it's important, but I don't think that we're there yet. And with these requirements, I don't know that it would be a huge benefit to us right now, but I don't mind approving it in case we do need it.
So if we had approved it as it is, we don't really have to do that?
We don't have to, because a board member would need just cause or public, you know,
and
it
so
would need a board member to say, hey, I'm going to jump through these hoops. Let's set it up.
So it wouldn't be our policy to just do it monthly, to provide that as like a monthly service that we're having it on Zoom or whatever it may be. We would just do, if we approved it like this, we would just do it when there was a need.
That's
like if a board member wanted to
join. I understand
join.
It, right, Mr. Kennedy?
But if we aren't set up for Zoom, how could we do it just...
We couldn't.
We couldn't do it.
You wouldn't have to recertify. You wouldn't have to recertify anything. What you would have to do is the agenda would have to have language on the agenda about how members of the public can attend meetings remotely. You know what the link is. You know how to get on. How to get on that link, and you know, and what the requirements are for logging in. What you can't do is if a director has, say, a childcare need and can't and wants to attend remotely, but you have not agendized the meeting to allow the public to attend remotely, then that director would not be able to attend remotely. Because at that point we couldn't do Classic Brown Act because it was already after the 72-hour time frame had passed. So we couldn't do Classic, and AB 2449 would not be available because you don't have a public link. So you can't just have it for directors and not for the public.
But I think our question was, if all of the directors are present here in Wrightwood, would we still have to have a link for the public to do it virtually?
Every month,
right? That's
yeah.
your question?
I mean, my question is, like, if we make this our policy, are we going to do this every month, whether a board member needs to join electronically or not? Is it going to be our monthly policy to run our meetings that way?
Yeah, and I think that's really the question for the board.
I don't think we're set up for that yet.
Yeah, I think that it would be great if we could get set up for that, but...
We'll look into it.
Yeah.
Start looking into it.
And I mean, like, I do hybrid meetings at work, so I can help with that, but I don't...
I think we have the skill set. We just don't have the
equipment.
You guys obviously can do it, but we just don't have the equipment yet, which we could look into.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So maybe we'd get that handled first and then back
and
into
bring
this.
It back.
Yeah. I think we'd have to learn a lot more about it because I do remember, like you'd said, with the links and stuff, we did have a lot of mishaps trying
to
run it that way, and we
meetings.
Had to cancel a couple of meetings because the public couldn't access the link properly and things like that. And so I would like to have it very efficient and be prepared before we launch something like that personally. And I am old-fashioned. Like, I was probably, I don't remember at the time, but I was probably one of the members that wanted to meet in person because I'm just old-fashioned that way. I'm more organized if I'm in person.
I do. But I feel like there's more connection, and it's, I don't want to say better, but I do think it is better in person. However, I think that making it accessible for people, like, we're going to get people that maybe are out of town or just not able to get here for whatever reason. And like I can show you how to make QR codes and stuff from the links to make it really, really easy and shorten links and stuff like that.
That's great. Yeah, maybe if you could work with staff and maybe come up with a plan for that, we could revisit it maybe.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, so maybe table now. Okay. And then also looking into the equipment, pricing up the equipment, bring that back. That way we can see. I think that's obviously a worthwhile investment for not just us, but other meetings that we have here and people that have meetings here.
How does it typically work with equipment? We just buy like a camera and set it up on a tripod or something, and then...
I mean, it really depends on how y'all want to do it. We have what's called an owl that like will follow speakers around the room, and then we'll project the virtual people on our TV.
And everyone can interact live, like if someone's talking to me, it will pan to them. And that's wonderful.
And we at least need a projector that is bright enough
to have a TV screen, or something. But
yeah.
Okay.
Stretch.
If I might add, we do this with CERT, and we have a projector, and we send out a link to our members if they want to join. Virtually, they just click on the link on the phone message or the email message that goes out. I'm wondering if we're not talking about two different things, about one, having the meeting open to the community, and then talking about the directors trying to join virtually. It seems like you're talking about two different things at the same time.
Well, they're one and the same. If a director isn't here, we have to open it to the public. That's it.
Okay.
The conundrum is here.
Yeah, but wouldn't you want to open it to the public even if all the directors are here? That seems to be what you're trying to establish.
Once we have the equipment,
And we do it simply with a projector and our CERT compute.
Yeah.
It's all done through that, projected up on this screen, and we see whoever has joined virtually. Mm-hmm. And they can put the hand up and ask a question.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not... I've been able to set it up so it's not that hard.
Yeah. You can say you?
Cool.
Lucky, well, I'm not that good at things like that.
Staff will look into that. So for now, we will table item number 10, and staff will look into equipment upgrades and whatnot.
And Alexis, if you wouldn't mind helping, then that would be awesome. You sound like you really have a background in that, so that would be great.
All right. Item number 11, vision plan discussion and possible action.
I'm just bringing it back because we need a vision.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you're too busy, you want to start a new ad hoc. Can we do that? Do you want to add to it? We need to discuss this because there's a lot of opportunities that I can jump on, but I don't know what to jump on.
Absolutely.
So it would be nice... to get this going again.
Yeah, I think you mentioned the possibility of Angela assisting Natalie perhaps with it. I don't know if she talked to you about that. Or
I don't know if you did. I apologize.
We mentioned it. You mentioned it.
Okay. I mean, I'm willing to do that work. So just kind of come up. I mean, I'm only here until December, but I can come up with, some framework. Would it be me by myself? Just me and Angela? Okay.
That's what we're kind of, if you can take the lead on that, because as you guys know, I have a newborn, he's very clingy, it's been challenging, so we want to make sure that this does go through before we're done in December.
Okay, yeah, since we have it on the agenda, can we pre-talk about it? Like, can we pre-talk about what we want our vision to look like long-term? Not every idea, but I'm talking like
long-term,
framework, like long-term. You want to put a one-year plan, a five-year plan, a 10-year plan, and what... Do you want that to
Yeah, I compass? Think the intention was the 1 year, 5 year, 10 year. Tammy and I attended all the public meetings, and I have the notes. I'll get you the notes of what the public wanted. I think next steps was to put together a survey for the general public, the people who couldn't attend those meetings.
Okay.
And then to gather all of that information and bring it back to the board in like a workshop style thing and put together the 1, 5, and 10 year goals.
Okay.
But I was just stalled with that needy baby.
I can do that. Steve, do we have to dissolve the ad hoc committee? Because Sadie, you were on it with, was it Christy or Alexis?
Christy.
So, Steve, would we have to dissolve the ad hoc committee?
We already put you on it after. We've already gone through Christy and you. Yeah.
Oh.
We
made. I thought you put me on the sewer committee.
We've been on that, too.
Oh, okay.
No, because Christy, yeah.
Okay.
We've already talked
okay,
about
well, then if I'm on it,
yeah, you're
I will
already
take
on it.
It over.
Yeah.
Then we leave it that way, though, as an ad hoc, or do we have to dissolve that if I'm working on it with a staff member?
I think we, with a staff member, maybe. I mean, I would say just leave it. That way I can help you as needed. I just
okay.
can't.
Okay.
Because I still have the notes and stuff.
Are we allowed to do that? Can we do that?
Just continue?
Just keep it and add Angela to help.
Well, you're not adding. Staff
is just helping.
Staff, that's
yeah.
what I meant.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Just help.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I thought committees can meet with staff anytime.
Okay. Yeah, let's just leave it like that then. That way
okay.
I can jump
then we'll
in
leave it as it is and we'll get going.
Cool.
Okay.
Thank you. Sorry.
Thank you, guys.
All right, item number 12, website design / host.
Okay. We definitely need help with our website. I know we discussed this a while ago. We do have a new website host because we're having issues, you know, controlling it on our end. So our current website host is this first his name is Andrews with the Website Exchange, and he is hosting it now, but we would like him to help us get it ADA compliant. What it is a new design. It'll be a user-friendly interface. He's going to copy over all contents and pages. He'll update the website with any changes that we request. This includes a one-year web hosting, some kind of SSL certification, which I believe we already have from him. Mobile-friendly, responsive design, maintenance and updates, connection to AutoPost, blog sending through MailChimp, because currently our website, for some reason, is only sending out the emails to, we're not even sure how, it tells us everyone is getting them, our agendas and packets, but they're not. And we have no way of knowing who, unless you tell us. So we need to be more on top of that. And that would be include the MailChimp would take care of that in our website. He will also do all ADA compliances and update any legal matters that are needed throughout the year. He did charge, we already did pay for a year of web hosting, so this first year would drop down to $1,260 instead of the, is that $1,500 across? I can't see that. We have been working with him. He is amazing. His customer service is awesome. We did get another estimate from web guy Nick. I personally don't know him or anything, haven't worked with him, but his quote was significantly higher. It came to $5,000 for pretty much the same thing. Obviously, I would love to continue with Andrew on the Website Exchange and have him get us in compliance and all that good stuff.
So how long have you been working with Andrew?
About a year. Just minor stuff.
Uh-huh.
But we need our website
legal.
Totally.
Yeah.
It is so
first and foremost.
How did you find him?
I don't know, just Google search. He's local. He's like in Hesperia, I think.
Okay. Well, yeah, it's significantly cheaper than the other one, mm-hmm. So I can't see why we would not go with him.
The chamber used them for
okay.
His website. I love that you could pick up the phone, call him, and he answers.
Yeah.
Or he answers your emails or, you know, which is huge these days.
Yeah. So this, basically, this proposal is just to do, like, a full integration of our website into, like, the new system and make it ADA
and give
you guys
all,
like, the functionality.
So we're all compliant.
Okay.
So then it'll be less next year, just the web hosting
exactly.
next year for redesigning
yes.
right now.
Yes. Perfect. And he will be, you know, throughout the year, it'll be $329 that'll include the hosting and the updates throughout the year. This first one is just to put everything together, and then it'll be an annual $329
okay.
to update, keep it updated to ADA and all that good stuff.
Okay.
Nothing. So you just need our approval for this cost? Okay. Mm-hmm. I think it's super important.
Yeah.
I love the updates to the website. It's actually user-friendly. You guys are doing an amazing job.
And he,
I think
he's
it's
the
worth
one
the money.
Who's been doing
yeah,
this.
It's
and,
worth
and
all
he's
the
just
money
a,
for that.
Angela has a great relationship with him, so
perfect.
It'd be nice to
have that.
All right, well, I'm going to make a motion that we approve the proposal from the website exchange for $1,260 for our website work.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. Moving on to item number 13, trash cans for parks.
All right, I'm so over these trash cans.
Yeah, I was.
Okay.
I feel so bad because I sent you some more today.
Did you? I didn't receive.
Yeah, and I was gonna say thank you for putting this together, but I was wondering if we could still push it off a month, and if maybe I could help with some of the designs. Or just some of the styles. Because I appreciate all the work that you're doing, but for some reason these ones, like, they're the same ones that we have there right now.
Yes.
And what I always see from these is like people trying to shove like a pizza box in there.
Yes.
And then it hangs out the side, and I just feel like they're not as functional as they could be, and I would really like to do some more research on maybe like a different design and maybe a different material. Because these ones too are, they look like the ones at the skate park, and they're really, really heavy, which is probably good because you don't want them to be moved around and stuff like that. But if you wouldn't mind, I would like to maybe work with you guys and try and find some if the board didn't care, because I have a specific kind of idea in mind, and I'd like them to be, you know, functional for us. And I know they have these tops on them, and I'm assuming that's like for when it snows and rain and stuff like that, which is probably a good idea.
But we might be able to find a higher, wider.
Yeah.
What about at Jackson Lake? They have those bear.
That's what I really wanted.
Be,
and I can't, I haven't found those yet, like just in Google searches, but I'm sure I was going to ask Brent Spears if he knew where to get those, because that is exactly what I was thinking of, is something with like
the
pull open. So that it's all locked up and it's not messy, because we always experience, I'm sure it's really hard for you ladies to have to, like, there's just trash always blowing everywhere because we have a lot of use of the park and there's, you know, when baseball's going on and stuff, it's just, it becomes really messy, and I don't want you guys to have to deal with that.
That's like better than dumpsters.
So if the board doesn't care.
No, perfect.
Okay.
I'm good. All right. So we will table item number 13. So moving on to item number 14, recess to closed session, public employee performance evaluation. For the government code for title general manager. So we will ask the public to leave at this time. You may wait outside if you want. All right, so we are going to return from closed session at 7:18. And
no reportable action.
With no reportable action.
7:18.
That moves us to item number 16, general manager annual salary increase, discussion and possible action.
So on this item, do we do this every year in August?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
That was when I was hired.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it's just your year.
And
my annual.
Yeah.
Is there a proposed number?
No, I didn't think about this because it's your job to tell me my raise or whatever. You know,
I believe what we discussed previously, just in terms of budget and everything, was a 10% increase. I believe Mr. Kennedy told me 8% cost of living increase or something. I remember 8% being standard for the other districts of something of that sort. Do you remember anything about that, Mr. Kennedy?
I think that was the cost of living increase last year. I think it was a little lower this year for most of the districts.
Gotcha. So that was last year. I pushed hard for the 8% cost of living increase just because everything is so expensive. And then I believe that you're doing an outstanding job, and we're so thankful for you. And so I would propose that additional 2% increase to your salary just to keep up the good work. And it fit within our budget. We were able to financially afford it, and I think that that is a fair number moving forward from my perspective.
Is that still within the pay scale?
Yes, it is.
Perfect. Then I'm good with it.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm good with it as well, and I agree with what you said. Yeah. You're doing an amazing job, and you deserve it, so thank you.
Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate that.
Very good. So I will make the motion to increase general manager salary by 10%.
Okay. Well, thanks.
Oh, sorry. I'll second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you. I was already thinking of my director's comment. Oh,
okay. Well, there we go. Have at it. Okay. Item number 17, director's comments.
Yeah. Do you want to start, Alexis?
No, you can.
Okay. I just wanted to, thank our staff, thank our board, thank our legal counsel and the community for being involved and the continued good work. I wanted to say to the audience, but there's no one here, that the deadline to apply for candidacy for two of the seats on the Wrightwood CSD board is August 9th. So if you're interested in volunteering to serve your community, you have until August 9th to do so, and I would encourage it because you can make a big difference in the community. Yes. And that's all.
Alexa?
I also want to thank staff and lift up how much growth I've seen, even in just the short amount of time that I've been on this board. It's really impressive. And thank everyone for coming. And I will not be here next month.
I got it. I wrote it down.
Okay.
Perfect.
We all miss you.
Yeah. Great. Echo everybody else. Miss Tammy, you've done amazing. Thank you for sticking it out another year with us. It's wonderful to see the growth within the district, but also the growth within you. You know, you took this position and you didn't know whether or not you even wanted it or if you could handle it. And you just hit the ground running. And one of the biggest things for our community is just how pleasant you are to all of the community groups. And that was such a major issue before. And you've smoothed over all of our challenges that we had as a district. And you just have done such a good job in it. I'm very thankful that you're here to continue and hope that we can support you in any way that you need. I'm glad that we have staff now, and hopefully we'll just get you guys some working space in the future and continue moving forward as a district. And that's it. So item number 18, future board meeting, Tuesday, September 3rd at 5:30 p.m.
Oh, is that Labor Day?
Yeah. No, it's the day after.
Is it?
Yeah.
I didn't even notice.
So typically...
Oh, I didn't even notice.
Yeah, typically we move that one just because it's the holiday.
I just looked at the calendar.
I mean, Labor Day is Monday, and that's Tuesday, so I don't know how the board would feel. I don't know if we're within our ability to change it now because it's on the agenda, but I don't know if the board wants to consider changing it.
Do you want me to change it?
I mean, I don't have a problem doing it that day. It's not
I don't.
Kids are back in school.
I don't know if I'll be gone right now.
Okay.
But, I mean, we can leave it as it is. And then if I find out if I'm going somewhere, I can let you know.
Okay.
But I'd probably be back on Tuesday from wherever I go.
But
because aren't the kids in school?
Yeah.
People are traveling.
Yeah. So.
Or you won't be here. Maybe
I mean, I'm just saying, like, usually we do consider that, like, on some, like, when it's 4th of July and stuff,
I don't mean it like that.
I just mean,
The calendar we have in our office does not have holidays.
Yeah.
We need to get one that does, because I just flipped it, saw that whatever, didn't even think.
Yeah, so maybe we just leave it as it is now, and then if you find out that anybody besides Alexis, like if Chuck and Christy aren't going to be around, and then I can let you know.
Okay,
if anything changes
with
me.
Okay, so far you will be. I'll confirm
with
Chuck and Christy. Christy, I believe, said she would make it.
Okay.
This one.
All right, well, we'll keep it for now then.
Okay.
All right, this meeting is adjourned at 7:24.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr.